Well, I'm going to tell you a little story about what we did on our project for rheumatoid arthritis. I'm supposed to present the disclosure. This was an industry-sponsored grant by Wyatt Pharmaceuticals, a division of Pfizer. So I know that today we have in the panel three different presentations from the National Alliance for Hispanic Health, so I'm going to tell you something about us if you don't know who we are. I'm going to give you a little demographics and data on health on the Hispanics just to give a context of what we do. And then I'm going to present the results of the survey that we did in 2010. The National Alliance for Hispanic Health, 501c3 nonprofit located in Washington, D.C. We have been serving the Hispanic community since 1973, something that makes us unique. Number one, we don't take money from alcohol or tobacco companies. Number two, we believe in community-based solutions, which means that all our work is through community-based organizations who are our partners. And number three, we represent all Hispanic groups. We have the largest network of community-based organizations serving Hispanics in the states. We estimate that we serve approximately 15 million Hispanics every year through these organizations. We have two centers, the Center for Community Services and the Center for Science and Policy. The Center for Community Services basically works in educating the community, disease treatment, dissemination, and diagnosis, early diagnosis at the community individual level. And in science and policy, we're working on advocacy, we're working on new science, new research for the Hispanic community, and also to prepare the new set of workforce in the Hispanic community to go into sciences. So what do we know about Hispanics in the United States? This is from the latest census data that we have. They estimate that we are 48 million Hispanics in the United States. Most of the data that we usually get doesn't include Puerto Rico. I still don't know why, but if we add our Puerto Rican brothers, we have more than 50 million Hispanics in the United States right now. This translates into 16% of the total population right now, and they're estimating by year 2015 we will be already 30% of the population, not a minority group anymore. The problem and why we are working on this is because of those 52 million, more or less 32% doesn't have any kind of health insurance. Moving into my topic, what do we know arthritis? And I need to acknowledge Dr. Patient White, who is with Arthritis Foundation. She was the person who gave me all of this data about arthritis and trained me in this subject. And basically, we know that it affects all people, all ages, all races, and ethnicities. It is not part of the aging process, and probably some of you working with the community already get this. I'm getting old, you know, this is normal, my body hurts, I'm getting kind of twisted, it's okay. It affects 21% of the adult population in the United States, and we know that physical activity helps, helps to prevent, and also helps with pain management and controlling the disease. In this graphic, we see that the prevalence among groups for Hispanics is not that high compared with other groups. The problem is that the Hispanics that suffer from any kind of arthritis usually experience more severe pain and are more frequently disabled by arthritis. And this is part of the late diagnosis. So when they get diagnosed, they are already in later stages, so they get diagnosed with lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. What do we know about rheumatoid arthritis? This is actually a progression from the American College of Rheumatology. I believe that this is a span of less than a decade. And number one is a systemic inflammatory disease. Number two, it affects the joints in a very rapid way and damages them. It is more common in women. And currently, it affects approximately 1.3 million Americans. To tell you the truth, we don't have the data available of how many of those are Hispanics. And that's part of the reason why we started the project, because we need to know, and we saw the lack of evidence and resource about rheumatoid arthritis within the Hispanics. The survey is part of something we call Manténgase Informado, or Live Informed, understanding and taking action to diagnose and manage rheumatoid arthritis. We decided to do a survey with physicians and community-based organizations who serve the Hispanic community. We also did a little scope of the field of what kind of materials are available there to educate our community, and we are planning to partner with other organizations to make this a more important issue, because everybody's talking about heart disease, diabetes, obesity, but nobody's mentioning arthritis anywhere else. So what we did, we surveyed 102 different physicians who are not specialists in rheumatoid arthritis. We talked to 28 different community-based organizations serving Hispanic communities. the physicians answered the survey through the email, fax, they mailed the survey back. The interviews with the community-based organizations were by phone, and it lasted approximately 45 to 50 minutes each of the interviews. In the slide, it says that it was community-based organization executives, not necessarily. Some of the agencies have an arthritis program, so the director of that program was the person in charge of answering the survey, or the medical director of the organization was the one who answered. We did this between April and June 2010, and we commissioned a Clarus Research Group from Washington, D.C. to do the survey for us. So what were the results? In the first set of questions, we asked them, what's your perception of your patients to know about arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis specifically? And most of them, I would say between 70 to 80% say, our patients don't know what this is. They don't know what the disease is about, they don't know the symptoms, they don't know the causes, they don't have a clear picture of what rheumatoid arthritis is. Then we ask them, okay, so since you're a general practitioner, most of them, do you see patients with arthritis? And they say yes, and part of the need that we have is we need more specialists on rheumatology to work in areas where Hispanics live because they are not enough for the demand that we have. Then we asked them to see if they knew anything about the educational materials that are on the field. And only 42%, there was a mix of the responses because only 42% say, you know, the materials that are out there are, they're, you know, fairly good, adequate, but they could be improved. And a small percentage, which is not here, also say, you know what, I don't really know that there are materials on rheumatoid arthritis in Spanish out there. So it was that kind of disconnected that some of them are using them, some of them don't really even know that they exist. When we ask them to see if there are community resources and community education going on around to teach the community about arthritis, they say, it was very interesting because of course the physician says, well, you know, the best way to educate the patient is in a one-to-one. If we talk to them, they will understand and learn about the disease. The community-based organization says, well, we have programs in place and we're educating the community about these issues. The disconnect is that physicians don't know that these programs exist with the community-based organizations. And that's part of the job that we have to do. And something that we just throw out the field just because a lot of the information is online, we ask them, like, how effective do you think is to have this information online for the community to reach out? And only 16% of the participants think that this is a very effective way. I don't know if it's because of lack of access to the internet, but they don't consider the internet to be probably the best tool to use. After we ask them, so basically our community doesn't know about this, there are not enough physicians to do this, there are no community resources or classes over there to teach them, and the materials need to be improved, so what do you think we could do? They say, well, number one, you need to push for more community-based education programs. You need to inform the community. You need to include arthritis within all the issues that you are talking. Because yes, cardiovascular disease is there. Diabetes is there, obesity is there, but a lot of things are getting linked together. If you stop moving, arthritis is also going to come, and so forth and so on. Also, they say since there are not enough specialists on rheumatoid arthritis to serve the community, we need to do a better job training just general practitioners and nurses in how to detect and diagnose arthritis at early age stage. And also, they say instead of just trying to increment the number of programs specific for arthritis, why don't you support programs that already are doing weight management, exercise, better diet? The final part, we asked them, okay, so what are the top barriers? Just give me four of the 150 that you answer. Say, well, awareness is number one. Number two, a lot of the patients, they cannot afford the screening test that they need to see if they have the arthritis or no. Number three, some of the insurance doesn't cover these services. And number four, if they're lucky enough to get diagnosed, they can afford the medication. Then we ask for what are the solutions. These ones are not correlated, but basically they say, keep educating the community. We need to reduce the language barrier that we have. Health insurance and healthcare reform came out on the topic. And of course, to increase the workforce. If you want a copy of the full report, please see me after the session. I will be able to provide that for you. I don't know how I'm doing on time, but I have a couple of minutes to actually talk about the resources that we have already out there. Vive tu Vida, Get Up, Get Moving is a national physical activity event that we start in 25 different cities this year, and it's basically a tailored event to get the community moving. If we ask the Hispanic community to come on a Saturday at 9 in the morning to exercise, nobody's going to show up. If we ask the community come up because there are going to be free health screenings, health, music, dancing, salsa, then you have them there. So this is a series of events that we have been tailoring to bring the community to participate. More information, you can just please go to the Alliance website, www.hispanichealth.org. Everything is produced bilingual, and in my second presentation, I will tell you more about the resources that we have. Thank you.